and Tis the Law has the lead at the top of the stretch. It is Tis the Law in front with 3/16 to the finish. Tis the Law has a four-length lead. He's left the others behind.
Live from the backstretch at historic Saratoga Racecourse, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow. Racing Across America is brought to you by Pennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga, just minutes from the track. The Leah Auto Group, Leah Cars for life. Find them on the web at leahcars.com. The new Capital OTB wagering platform. Bet any place, anytime with the new Capital OTB wagering platform. CapitalOTBBet.com, the premier wagering site in New York State. And the Clubhouse Racebook. Can't make it to the track? Make it to the Clubhouse Racebook. 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America, take two. It's day one. We're still shaking it out a little bit. I guess there were some technical difficulties at the beginning, so we're, as I say, take two now, but that's fine. We are happy to be here live from Clare Court on a gorgeous morning. A little humid, but temperature's not bad. Just is a little humid, but that's okay. Nice sunny weather. It's a great day to be in Saratoga. It's supposed to be more of the same tomorrow for opening day. Really looking forward to it. A little bit later on the show, Dan Collins from Bonaventure Stables, locally based, some local owners involved in their partnership. They have a runner coming up tomorrow, opening day. Also, potentially one on Saturday. So hopefully we get some locals in the winner's circle over the first few days of the meet. Before that, Mike McAdam from the Daily Gazette will get some of his thoughts on Racing 2021 at Saratoga and expectations for this upcoming meet, which has high expectations from everybody, I think, and a lot of excitement. And part of that is tied into today, T-1, the day before, but already events happening in and around the racetrack. And part of that will be through the TRF, the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. And joining us now, my friend Kim Weir of the TRF. And Kim, good morning.
Good morning, Seth. I am so glad to be here on this day before the big day. And we're all coming back, and you can feel it in the air. Yeah. It is a great day to be in Saratoga.
Really looking forward to tomorrow. But again, there's a great celebration today as well of an old warhorse quick call, a Saratoga favorite. Certainly, we'll talk about that in a moment. But again, we hit on some of this before, but we did have those technical difficulties. So just in case the sound wasn't what it should have been, I'll let you once again just hit us with TRF, Thoroughbred Racing Foundation. What's the mission?
I love it. I love sharing this story. And the mission of the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation for nearly 40 years has been to save thoroughbred racehorses who are no longer able to compete on the racetrack from possible neglect, abuse, and slaughter. It's a very sobering mission, and it's one we've been doing for 40 years. What it looks like today is a herd of 500 very beloved individual racehorses, each with their own story. They live in our national herd all across the country, 19 farms in 9 states. And the secret ingredient to what we do is a focus on sanctuary, which means they live with us for the rest of their days. And we take those who can't pursue that second athletic career, which they all want to do. But if they can't do that, they come with us, they're safe forever. And we have found a creative way to give them that second job, and that is as teachers. And that's what they do in our TRF Second Chances program, started 40 years ago at the Wallkill Correctional Facility here in Wallkill, New York. Continues across the country, but today we are really focusing on our amazing partnership at Wallkill and one very, very special horse.
And I think we have a little footage of Wallkill, and that's just one of the facilities, the correctional facilities where horses are taken care of via the TRF. And as you say, it's one of those partnerships beneficial to the horse, beneficial to the human.
It's quite amazing to be a part of it. And so many countless individuals for so many years have made this possible. But indeed, every day, those horses have never missed a day of work because they show up, they are themselves. And in doing that, they teach all of those who care for them how to be more patient, how to be more kind, how to be more confident, how to be responsible and how to love a horse. It's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And as I mentioned, Quick Call, there's a little bit of a celebration today. Quick Call was a resident down at Wallkill. Again, folks out in the audience may remember Quick Call because he was a Saratoga favorite. Won the Forego a couple of times up here, and we may have some video of the 88 Forego, or I know we have the winner's circle photo from the 88 Forego, so maybe we can take a look at that as we talk a little bit as well. But today is Quick Call Day. Right behind us at Clare Court, there will be a ceremony at the gravesite of Quick Call, but give us the quick story.
Yes, we're calling today a special day for a special horse. Because he really was very special. Everyone in racing here in New York loved him. He had an extraordinary career, 86 starts, won a lot of races, made a lot of friends. But when he retired, he had a couple years as a riding horse. So he actually went on to the traditional second career. But soon enough in 2001, he found his way to our herd at Wallkill. And he lived there until he was 35 years old. Testament to the care of the inmates and our farm managers and all of the supporters who gave us the ability to care for him. So over the course of 35 years, we would argue, us horse crazy people would argue, his second career was even more successful than his first career because he impacted hundreds of individuals at Wallkill. And in if you think about the pebbles in a pond, each of those men that graduated from the program, he impacted their families, their friends, their coworkers, their neighbors. And so this horse is an extraordinary horse. And today we are indeed unveiling the marker that has been placed with great love right here in beautiful Clare Court, where he will remain for the remainder of his days on the course he loved best. The horse for the course will live forever here at Saratoga. And today we celebrate him, and we're bringing the band back together. Everyone who really ever loved him is welcome to join us today. And I'll be happy to share those details.
You just saw Kelsey from Wallkill in the video, and she is off the set as well. She'll be participating this afternoon. So it's going to be a lot of fun, certainly, because it's not just the ceremony right behind us to commemorate the site, but there'll be a little celebration afterwards right across the street at the Horseshoe.
We are really grateful to the Horseshoe because they're also getting ready for a big opening day. And so what we'll do is we'll take our photos. We'll say a few remarks from Naira, from the Secretary of New York, Acting Commissioner of New York Corrections will be with us. Commissioner Annucci will be here and our TRF Executive Director. We'll say a few words, but then we're going over to the Horseshoe, and we all know that's where the fun really happens. So everyone who loved Quick Call, is welcome to join us to stop by. We actually have a selfie station. We're gonna start a social media campaign where you can get your photo with our beloved boy and put it out there. And then, of course, tomorrow, everyone who comes to opening day will get to celebrate him again when his stakes race runs.
We plan to go back for the ceremony, and so we'll drop a little of that in tomorrow's show so people will be able to see that. But if folks, you know, fans of racing, fans of Quick Call, want to take advantage of the public part of this, what time does the Horseshoe event happen?
12 to 2. 12 o'clock to 2 o'clock. We'll be right in the backyard. We have the whole backyard to ourselves, and it's really just going to be people sharing their stories. We have one of his former exercise riders, one of his former assistant trainers. We actually have a graduate from the Wallkill program who took care of him, plus Kelsey, our rock star, off camera. And for those who may remember, Jim Tremper was the amazing farm manager at Wallkill who took care of him for decades. So everybody's coming together, and we really do welcome folks to just stop by from 12 to 2, snap a photo, and tell us how much you loved him.
Chance to remember Quick Call, and a fitting honor for a horse who was so popular up here at Saratoga over the years, being placed in Clare Court, which is kind of honored ground with a few other gravestones back there, special Saratoga horses as well. So as I say, we'll drop a little of ceremony in tomorrow's show. Why don't we talk a little bit just in general, though, for people who may be listening and thinking, hey, you know, this sounds like a good cause. And it is, if you like the racehorses, to give them that retirement that they deserve. Check out the TRF website. I think we have the website address. We can pull that up. But there will also be some really throughout the season that you can take advantage of up here. Why don't we hit on some of them? First, there's, of course, the event today. But one I am taking advantage of next Monday, a night with Kendrick Carmouche. Kendrick Carmouche will take off his jockey silks and put on the chef's hat. He's going to be making some gumbo that proceeds will head to the TRF. Yeah. I'm going.
Oh, good. I'm so counting on you. It's going to be amazing. Kendrick is such a hero for the horses. And this is really the theme for us with so much gratitude. This summer has a very full lineup because so many wonderful folks do care. And they've said, how about if I do this? Would this be helpful? Well, Kendrick, despite all that he juggles as an active jockey, he has offered to cook his famous gumbo that I've had before, because he did this for our silent auction in 2019. Now he's cooking a big vat of gumbo, and he's hosting this for us at the Princesa Elena Club right here in Saratoga over off Beekman, which is a charming, wonderful spot. And we are so grateful to the club for welcoming this event. And it's great. It's Monday night. The event information is on our website, and I think it's $25, and you get Kendrick's gumbo. And I think if Seth's going to be there, everyone who's anywhere is going to be there. So please come, and it'll be a ton of fun to kick off the summer.
The website is trfinc.org, trfinc.org. Go there. You can buy tickets in advance for Monday night, and you can learn about all the other events that are coming up. But another one I did want to mention, sounds like fun, the end of the month, Rainbow's Edge Racing Stable Brunch at the Bar.
Yes, this is so much fun. This is Bob Scavetta, who I don't know if you've had chat with yet, Seth, but he is a wonderful guy, the managing partner of Rainbow's Edge Racing Stable. And what he is doing with us is he's hosting his partners at a farm nearby as a benefit to the TRF. So it's a private event for his racing partners, but it gives him and I a chance to really share the story of the horses after their racing career is over. We also get to have a little brunch. We get to pet some horses. And this is something I will say, that if other racing partnerships are interested in doing something that's both educational and fundraising, let me know, because it's a lot of fun. And Bob is kicking it off on July 29th.
And again, there's a slate of events that will go throughout the season. We'll check in as the season moves along as well. Oh, yeah, the Casa Amigos event coming up, too. We should mention that. Well,
I can't help mentioning it because, again, these are things that come to us with so much gratitude. On August 8th, entirely thanks to the great folks at Casa Amigos Tequila and the Adelphi Hotel, they're hosting this together as a benefit for the TRF and the PDJF. So this is it's called For Jocks and Horses. So you can't get better than that. And the proceeds will be split. You come to the Adelphi, you buy a ticket, you can either get a yummy tequila cocktail and some Bobby Flay-inspired hors d'oeuvres for $25, or, as a very cool thing, for $100, you can get the hors d'oeuvres, the cocktail, and a bottle of Casamigos tequila signed by the whole Saratoga Jockey Colony.
Oh,
so that's pretty cool. And we are so grateful to Casamigos and Adelphi and the magical board member of ours who made this happen, Anita Motion. And at the end of the day, the horses and the jockeys will receive 100% of those proceeds. So that's August 8th, the Sunday before sales week. It'll be a lot of fun.
Nice. And as I say, we've just hit on a handful of the events. Go to the website, TRFINC, TRFinc.org, to find out more information. Or if you want to sign up for the event that's coming up Monday night, buy an advance ticket, certainly do that. It's a great organization. Don't forget, this afternoon, right across the street from our set at the Horseshoe, 12 to 2, you can celebrate Quick Call. And again, a ceremony in just a little bit to unveil the marker right behind us here. And we'll drop a little video of that in. But Kim, I really appreciate the visit. I appreciate the work that you and everybody at the TRF does, because again, the horses give us so much pleasure out here on the racing days. It's nice to know that there are organizations like yours out there that make sure they're taken care of afterwards as well.
Well, you care about them very much, and we appreciate you, Seth. And it takes a village, and we're all doing our part. Thank you for letting me tell the story today.
Appreciate it. Kim Weir from the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. We'll take a break when we come back. Mike McAdam from the Daily Gazette. A little bit after that, Dan Collins from Bonaventure Stables. All of that when Racing Across America continues.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you, where's the best sports bar in the capital region, tell them, Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
The Capital Region has some of the most sophisticated horse racing fans in the country. That's why Capital OTB built the Clubhouse Racebook. Here you can wager year-round on the best horse racing from around the world. The Clubhouse also has monthly promotions including live bankrolls, handicapping contests, and so much more. Like sports? Watch your favorite teams on more than 30 screens in Legends Field Sports Grill. Food, sports, and the excitement of championship horse racing only at the Clubhouse Racebook. 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. It is day one. It's actually T-minus one, as I said earlier, opening day tomorrow. But we're up here kind of kicking off the season on this Wednesday morning, live from our Clare Court set. Happy to be here and happy to talk a little Saratoga 2021 with Mike McAdam from the Daily Gazette, the sports writer there, but during the racing season, the racing writer as well, all year long, but certainly plugged in up here during the racing season. Mike's been here over the past few weeks or so, getting a little inside lowdown as well, and thought we'd have him in and get some pre-meet conversation. Mike, good morning.
Thanks for having me, Seth. It's great to be back.
Happy to have you back, and I pulled up your column the other day, and I liked the allusion to the Titanic. I was as I read that, I thought, or Overlook Hotel, maybe?
Well, Tim Wilkin came up with that one, and I actually think that's a superior product to my metaphor there. But the bourbon bar down there always struck me. We saw it every day. We'd come up the stairs, and I'd say, yep, those broken champagne glasses are still on the tray, still on the bar from 2019. They're not going anywhere. And overall, I mean, you could see as the meet went along that, layer of filth and film was just all over the whole place. I was like, I don't know how they're going to get this place cleaned up for 2021, but I know they'll figure it out. So
yeah, everything just kind of froze in time after 2019 last year because there was limited people on the track and owners. So we would be up in our auxiliary press box dining room perch and silence, and it was eerie. You got used to it kind of as the meet went along, but it was not anywhere what it should have been. So I'm looking forward to this year quite a bit. You alluded to it, and I just alluded to it. Yeah, I kind of going to miss that auxiliary press box. So it was like the three amigos, you, me, and Wilkin were up there.
There were benefits. There were benefits. Like, for instance, you could sneak over to Spring Street Deli and get a sandwich and be back and not miss a race, and you wouldn't have to deal with any crowd or any of those kinds of things. So, yeah, there were some little side benefits behind the scenes that we enjoyed, but overall, we want the people back.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And then I laughed as well when you mentioned you had a bet going with our friend Gene Kirshner from the Buffalo News. And you're on the over?
I'm looking pretty. No, so if it hits the number 40,000, I win. He took the under. So
okay.
And we made this bet, I think, around probably Belmont Stakes weekend. And at the time, the CDC guideline was that there were proof of vax restrictions in place. And NYRA's plan for Saratoga was going to be like over 90%, but there were going to be certain sections in the grandstand that were for non-vax people that was going to be social distanced, which would bring the number under 100,000 and then, or 100%. And then a couple weeks later, he moved the goalposts again and let everybody in. So I'm benefiting from that, as well as hopefully the freebie general admission on opening day will get me to my number of 40, and then Gino will have to get his wallet out, which is always a
I'm going to be, because I have been saying it for people for a couple of weeks now, I'm intrigued to see. And then when the weather earlier was maybe a little, but now it's changed. Now I think it's going to be a great day tomorrow. I've been predicting bonkers or bananas, my two descriptors, and I'm excited to see what's going to happen, it's going to play out.
A word that I heard was explode. Like someone Jim Bond was telling us yesterday, I think it's just going to explode. And so it's going to be a big number. My feeling is that people are they want revenge on 2020. And they're going on opening day in 2021 if it kills. So that's going to produce a big number. People are just mad at 2020. A lot of people have traditions where they've gone to opening 40, 50 years in a row, and they got that taken away from them last year. So they're like, I'm there. I don't care what the weather's like. I don't, you know, what the circumstances are. I'm going to be there for opening day just because it's a thing for me. That's important.
And you had the great reference in your article, too, because I said all last year, it was just such a shame that we had no fans with really good racing. I mean, Swiss Skydiver in the Alabama and Gamine and Tis the Law in the Travers, and you referenced the woman outside. There was that whole little cadre of people
Elijah
outside
Shacker.
The fence.
Yeah, there were like 50 people. They all had their little step ladders because, you know, they put that green screen up so that people would be discouraged from milling around and you know, getting in clusters and social distancing and the whole thing. So there was like this little community out there of about 50 people that kind of were patching together, you know, like the old knot hole gang trying to get a peek inside. And she had her little step ladder, but I heard this whistle from, I was on the apron by the winner's circle, so pretty far away from that fence, and all of a sudden you hear this whistle like well after the race when Manny Franco was walking Tis of the Law back to the winner's circle. And so I threw it in my column, and then fortunately her father or father-in-law, I think it was, emailed me the next day sort of anonymously and said, by the way, you mentioned a male gym teacher whistle. That was actually a woman, my daughter-in-law, or something like that. And I was like, oh, really? That's great. Thank you for the tip. And can you give me some contact information? And we kind of took it from there. So it was a super to write, but it also represents how like hungry people were are just to get like any kind of little glimmer of the action that was going on. And Tis the Law certainly very pop. Can you imagine the crowd that would have been going crazy? New York bred with those funny side silks. That would have been nuts.
Yeah.
Too bad we got deprived of that. Just that one of everything, but that one specific.
Yeah, I said last year there was some really great performances, and the Saratoga fans are just so knowledgeable and so appreciative. It was a shame they couldn't be here, but things are shaping up, and I think in a lot of the divisions to play out very nicely again this year, keeping our fingers crossed on Latruska and some other really good horses that we've seen already this year that I think could make 2021 as potent as 2020. One of the horses, and I saw you tweeted out, you were here for the work the other morning, I think Essential Quality. I think we have some video of the stretch run of the Belmont Stakes, aiming for the Jim Dandy, that you would assume then onto the Travers, but you know, leader in the clubhouse at this point, certainly in the three-year-old division, so he's something to look forward to this season,
yeah,
certainly.
Yeah, deservedly so. You know, they were kind of, there was a little thought about maybe skipping the Jim Dandy and just training up, but, you know, he had a very business-like work. He will start working in company next time out, probably this Saturday, to just get that little extra oomph of sharpening. Very interested to see him. You know, I loved him in the Derby, and he was only a length back of Medina Spirit, and then he came back and just knocked down drag-out duel with Hot Rod Charlie in the Belmont and proved to be the best. So not just by default, but by performance, you know, the 2020 champ deserves to be at the top of that division right now. So we're going to be keeping a close eye on him. It'd be interesting to see who he faces in the Travers, and I know it's early and everything. We were talking to Chad Brown and Todd Pletcher yesterday, and they're both targeting the Curl. And right now, Todd has one, he has Dynamic One, who's working in company with Malathot. And depending on how he does in the Curl, and maybe he'll wind up in the Travers. But they're both looking like they got kind of skimpy Travers prospects. The one name I'll throw out there is Miles D, which is a very lightly raced, just broke his maiden in June at Belmont pretty impressively, that Chad has, that he thought last year as a two-year-old was going to be his Derby horse this year, and then the horse got hurt, and they're just kind of getting him back. And it's probably still a little too late to think about the Travers, but he wants to try him in the Curl and see what happens. So,
well, I think Shug may be thinking first captain for the
very
Curl and
to
the
see
Travers
him too. Yeah, off that performance last time, and he's kind of a little late to the scene too.
I mean, he did Dwyer Travers with Code of Honor, but he had more of a resume than first captain.
Exactly. That's why it's kind of tough to make too much of a comparison. I mean, off of that, just that one race, the Dwyer, but I mean, at least there is a little bit of parallel, I guess, especially from the timing between the Dwyer and
you
the
mentioned Malathot. Did Todd say that the coaching club in the Alabama?
Yeah,
are still
I mean they're hitting everything. She will work after the break on Saturday, so we'll be there for that and see how she does. I mean, she's all systems go, and there's no reason to skip the race. So, I mean they're looking, they want to hit all the targets right now.
Over the last week or so, have you been up and talking and watching? Any other big names that are notable to keep our eyes open for in the, at the meet, early in the meet?
Well, last week I kind of did a recon mission just to see who we could maybe get some photos of on Saturday. And I think I like how the Whitney is showing up. I saw Silver State out on the track on first thing in the morning on Saturday. And right now it's looking like Maxfield, Nick's Go, and Silver State and the Whitney. And if you get those three, they could load five giraffes in the other stalls, and I'm still going to be interested in
well,
that Whitney.
I said Nick's Go before that race out in Iowa. I said, I think it looks like they're trying to get a confidence builder. And then after the race, I said, mission accomplished.
They got that. Yeah. No, if that's what they were looking for, they got it. So as far as I know, he's targeting the Whitney, and if you get those three banging heads against each other, that could be a real interesting addition.
Yeah, no question about it. Just wrapped up the Belmont Spring Summer Meet, and it came down to Irad Ortiz and his brother Jose Ortiz. They were tied going into the last day, and Jose picks up a couple of wins. Irad was on the sidelines the last few days serving out a suspension so he could get that out of the way before Saratoga, but it was Jose over Irad last year up here. Irad took the championship on the trainer's side last year. Chad Brown comes out of the Belmont meet a few days ago being the leading trainer by a pretty good margin, but last year Todd Pletcher with a great meet got it done and became the leading trainer up here. Trainer side, I'm not so sure how it's going to shake out. Chad, I think just by virtue of the numbers. But on the jockey side, I kind of find it hard to go beyond one or the other of the Ortiz brothers.
Which is strange, too, because the guys underneath them are just all phenomenal people. You look at the names that are coming in third, fourth, fifth, sixth place, and they'd be winning jockey titles at a lot of different tracks. But they still stay here because this is where the money is and this is where the good horses are. So even if you're not one or two in Saratoga, that's nothing to sneeze at. As far as the trainer title, I know Todd, we talked to Todd about that at length, and Chad as well, and they both were in a little bit of sandbag mode, and on Todd's side of it, he said, well, I don't know if we have the group or the mix, because you need a lot of variety to hit, the different conditions and everything. And then on Chad's side, because he is very turf heavy, he's relying on the weather.
Yeah.
And last year he kind of tailed off when we got hit with a lot of rain, yeah, like over the last week of the meet. So they're both kind of like positioning in sandbag mode before the meet starts, and then we'll see what happens once it starts flying. But
I think they both said pretty much the same thing last year, though.
I think it's a broken record, and I don't blame them, because you don't want to say something stupid beginning.
Yeah.
And they do give honest assessments of their stock and everything. And, like I said to Chad, I was like, if you're like a couple wins away going into the last week, it's not like you're suddenly going to drop good horses into claiming races just to get a number, because they have to maintain a program over the course of the year. This isn't the be-all and end-all as prestigious as it is.
Well, before we let you go, again, we kind of alluded to it at the top of the interview, but I'll just ask you once again your level of excitement. But more importantly, as you've been walking around, you're down in Schenectady.
Yep.
So I'm curious. I'm up here in Saratoga, so I've been getting more of a local feel. But just being down there a little bit and being out and about and people knowing what you do, I'm wondering if you've been hearing the way I have up here. And I've gone out last three Saturday nights. I've just kind of walked around downtown a little bit, and it has been – it's like Traverse Night every Saturday night. So during the season, I don't know what's going to happen. But talking to people about the track, I just – phenomenal summer, but what's the feeling you're getting?
I think they're going to get big numbers on even the weekdays, just because people are, the weekends are going to be so ridiculous that if people have the flexibility in their schedule, they're going to say, well, let's go on Wednesday instead of Saturday. I think there might be a little bit of that. But I go back again to the whole, people are mad. They're mad at 2020, and they want revenge, and they're going to get it. So there's going to be big numbers, and we'll kind of keep track of that as things go on. As long as we get the 40 on opening day so I can get my fiver from Gino, I'll be happy. But other than that, everything else will be frosting.
I wonder if there's, left, though, because Naira has a calendar promotion every year. So I wonder if there are leftover 2020 calendars, and they shouldn't have planned on opening day to have, a big empty garbage pail that they would light on fire and hand everybody one of the extra calendars. Then they could have
like that disco death day at Comiskey Park where they were flinging the record album.
Yeah. Exactly. That it would be 2020 that would be getting
whatever they do. Disco death day or whatever they call it. They could have that with them.
And it would be on the news for decades to come, like this. But I think, unfortunately, I think that's on the news because I think it all went bad.
Weren't they blowing up the albums, and eventually... It could just be a symbol of, you know, how people feel currently and doesn't have to,
maybe just hand out the calendars and let them rip them up. Right. Mike, appreciate the visit. And again, we'll certainly have you back as the meet progresses as well. You can check out Mike's work in the Gazette. Check out his Twitter. What is your Twitter handle?
It's at Mike _ McAdam, MacAdam. I guess it's not case sensitive, so you don't need the capital M and the capital A, but don't put an S at the end because that'll go to somebody else. And that happens in my mail all the time, but if you can avoid it on the Twitter handle, you're good to go.
So you can check out that as well. Mike, appreciate the visit, and I'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you, Seth.
Mike McAdam from the Daily Gazette. We'll take a break. When we come back, as promised, Dan Collins from Bonaventure Stables. They have some runners coming up in the next day. So as I said earlier, hopefully we'll see some locals in the winner's circle as the meet kicks off. But Dan will join us in a couple. Stay tuned.
Phillies turf, 14 of them across the track. Field set on their way. End of the dance on the outside. Broke a little sideways with Bro KK, but meanwhile it's going to be stopped. But running on now, and Somali Lemonade's got eight to make up. They come to the top of the lane. Stop shopping. Maria's got a lot left. Stop shopping. Maria goes on. Sweet Cat is right there. Hard not to like. Royal Body is running on. Past the eight ball, they come. Stop shopping. Maria full of runs. Still under a hand ride as they come to the 16th. Stephanie's Kitten coming out late. Yes, Stephanie's Kitten coming fast. Stephanie's Kitten, stop shopping. Maria. Stephanie's Kitten's water.
Watched her chances, broke smartly, but so did Terra from the Cape. On the inside, Sky Lantern, the grey going well. If he can get through, can get through. Sky Lantern, the grey, looking for somewhere to run. Wide, wide open. It's Terra from the Cape hanging on. Terra from the Cape tries to go all the way. On the outside now, here comes Flotilla in the light blue. Flotilla is absolutely flying. Watch the chances in there too. But Flotilla has gone right on by. And Flotilla is coming home to score. Flotilla has won it just about two in the end. It'll be Watch the Chances, Summer of Fun, coming on to finish there.
I looked over and you were gone. Welcome back to Racing Across America. We are kicking things the day before, but it's day one for us, live from our Clercourt set on a really gorgeous Wednesday morning. Morning, and looks like more of the same tomorrow for opening day. Really looking forward to it, as I am sure Dan Collins of Bonaventure Stables is, because he has a runner in the fourth race on opening day. Dan, good morning.
Good morning, Seth. Nice to be here.
Happy to have you here to talk a little bit about that. Before we get to your runner in particular tomorrow, let's just talk in general, Bonaventure Stables. And whenever I get the partnership people in here, a lot I talk about is part of it, the fun of owning, particularly up here at Saratoga, is the social aspect of it, getting people on the backstretch to see their horse and over in the paddock and whatnot. And the last year has just been a little bit different. So talk about the pent-up expectations and excitement, getting ready for a little bit of a more normal Saratoga.
Well, I think that most people would agree that there's more anticipation for this year's meet than ever. Personally, I think that Saratoga has a great chance of setting an individual daily attendance record every day of the meet. And for us, it's much the same. As you know, we hold a owner's weekend where we celebrate being part of Bonaventure Stables. We can do maximum of 100 people. I'm way over 100 people wanting to come this year, so I can't even satisfy everybody. And then the other thing that I think is exciting for us is, yes, we have a horse running tomorrow, opening day, and we could have a group of as many as 16, 17, maybe 18 owners, which is large for us, especially on opening day. So people are coming from a long way because it's been a year and a half and they want to be here.
And I always, when I'm doing the afternoon handicapping show, I always tout local owners and partnerships that have local owners. And so people, even if you're not betting, you can root for the locals in the races. I like to point them out. And so when I see the Bonaventure horses entered, I certainly like to point those out. I will say your stable, bonaventurestables.com. There's the website. If people want more information, there's the Facebook page as well. And for folks who don't know, you've told the story before. My brother passed away a couple of years ago, but he was an alumnus. Talk a little bit about the name of the stable.
So the name of the stable came about 15, 16 years ago when a group of four or five of us, St. Bonaventure University alumni, got together. And we probably had one too many beers, and we said, why don't we buy a horse? We tried to buy a horse. We didn't know how to buy a horse, and we didn't realize we couldn't just go up and say, I claim that horse. So long story short, that got us involved. We ended up actually purchasing a horse the right way. And then it evolved, and we named it Bonaventure Stables. And now we have not just one, but we have, you know, close to 10 horses. So we're a small stable, but, you know, we're pretty effective.
And from the effective, and I'll go down and I'll pull up, and I should alert you, our TV monitor here, we're a little bit, it's a little bit of a delay, so you and I won't see it immediately, but I'll ask the guys to go down the replay list, because I think this now nicely what you said. Effective 2012, which near the beginning ship, we're going to watch up Juvenile Philly. You'll see the nice Bonaventure green and yellow silks running third, Summer of Fun in here. And I have to imagine that for a partnership and a smaller partnership like yours, this is a third place finish, yes, but it still has to be one of the highlights of the resume.
It really is. We went to the Breeders' Cup because Summer of Fun had won several races here at Saratoga as a two-year-old. Nobody thought we had a chance. I think we were about 45-1 in the race. And we ended up finishing third. After the race, Ramon Dominguez, frankly, by the way, it was one of his last races before his career-ending injury a month or so later. But Ramon actually came to our box and apologized to us by saying, I think we could have won the race. I couldn't get through. I had to wait. I'm sorry. And we were thrilled with third place, never mind the potential of winning. But it was a great part of our career resume builder. And we hope to get back there maybe even this year.
Yeah, it's, as I say, that's got to be very fun and very gratifying to have a Breeders' Cup horse like that. And so let's talk a little bit about coming up over the next few days, potentially, though. As I say, you have locals I know involved in the partnerships and whatnot, and I'm sure you'll have plenty of partners in the paddock and potentially in the winner's circle as well. And as I said, I mention when there are locals or locally based partnerships that have runners when I do the afternoon handicapping show here on the network, and that gave me plenty of opportunity to mention Claddow's run this winter time down at Tampa. And we're going to pull up that one's last race. This is back in May, early May, down at Tampa, and you will see Claddow's run with the distinctive yellow and green Bonaventure stable silks winning for the third time in four starts down at Tampa this winter, I believe, and you have him enter tomorrow on opening day. Give me your thoughts on that winter season down at Tampa and how he's coming into tomorrow's race.
So Claude's run really turned around this past winter. We went to Tampa because we didn't get a long turf season in last year, and all of a sudden, as you said, she won three out of her last four races. You know, she's only run 12 career times. She's finished in the top three 10 of the 12 times. So this horse gets a check for us. She's an honest, hardworking horse, and she's really got a nice closing effort in her races. So this race, I think, sets up pretty well for her. There's some early speed in the race to give us a pace to run at, and I think she'll be pretty close off the off the top of the stretch, and we'll see how strong her closing run can be.
You have the man, John Velasquez, on board. That certainly adds some confidence. And as I say, like to root for the locals, be rooting for you. That would be pretty good to be in the winner's circle on opening day.
It would be. I'll tell you a little bit of an ironic thing about Clotta's run. One of our owners pointed out that in 2019, she was entered on opening day, same type of race, turf race, and the race was taken off the grass and we scratched. And our biggest worry is it's going to happen again tomorrow.
I think, or we were talking before we went on, early in the week it looked a little iffy, but I think the weather now is looking good. So I got my fingers crossed for you guys that you're going to be okay with that one, and we will certainly be rooting for you. If not that one, perhaps on the weekend, entries are going to be taken, and you're potentially going to put competitive Saint in. And maybe there's a horse for a course play here, because we are going to pull up a race last July 26th, and it will be competitive Saint getting it done right up here at Saratoga. First, it will be, if this one runs on Saturday, first start of the season, correct?
Correct.
Talk a little bit about the expectations.
Competitive Saint's a four-year-old now. He ran very, very well in the beginning of his three-year-old career. And we went to Kentucky Downs for the Grade 3 $500,000 sprint on the turf. And he clearly didn't like the race because we went off as the favorite and he didn't pick his feet up. And it was a little disappointing.
It's a funny course.
It is a very funny course. And the rider afterwards said he just didn't like the undulation of the hills and so forth. So we chalked that up to just a bad day. But then we found out that he had a problem with his hoof. And so we had to cut out the issue. There was an infection, it spread. We gave him the entire winter to grow that hoof back and to get ready. He's put in several snappy workouts up here on the dirt. So we're looking for big things from him this year.
Nice. So potentially two in the first 3 days of the meet. We'll be rooting for you, and I expect with the numbers and with these two potentially running early, more starts for them. You'll be taking a number of shots up here this season.
We hope so.
And as I say, we will be rooting for you because we do root for the locals, and we also I can attest. You mentioned before your owner's day, and I have been at the various events, and I can attest that it's always a lot of fun. When the Bonaventure group gets together, and I said before, a lot of ownership is the fun of rooting for your horse in the paddock, in the winner's circle, and just the social aspect of being with like-minded people and whatnot. So talk a little bit about how folks who may be watching this and think, you know what, maybe I want to, maybe somebody who had one beer too many and is now thinking, hey, let's, how do they do it the right way? How do they get involved without going through what you went through at the beginning, the learning process? Partnerships are the way to go.
I do think partnerships are the way to go. I started out by investing in partnerships before I formed Bonaventure Stables and learned a little bit about the game. Do it. We're different than some of the partnerships. Everybody's got their way of doing business and they're successful. We're a family operation. We don't pay salaries. We do this because we like to get people involved in the game. So I'm the managing partner. My wife is the business manager. My daughters and their husbands, they all come up here in the summer and we do tours and help people get to understand the game. We hold an annual party. It is it's in 2 weeks, July 31st, that weekend. And we entertain up to 100 people, as I said before, owners, their family, and their guests. And we have a great social event on Friday evening. We tour the stable areas and talk about what it means to be an owner on Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon. We treat them for a day at the races. This year it'll be in Legends Hall in the 1863 Club. And then Saturday night we encourage them to have some fun in downtown Saratoga. In our case, we don't buy a lot of horses. We buy two or three horses each year. This year we bought 2 2-year-olds. Sold out. We do have some about 20% or 5% shares or 2 10% shares remaining in the New York bred. Very, very excited about the New York bred, especially since the New York bred purses are so high this year. I mean, New York bred maiden horses are running for $90,000 in a maiden race. And so this horse, Ocean's Reserve, is trained by Leah Germati. He has some real talent on the New York bred circuit, and we think you'll get to see some very exciting New York bred racing this year.
And again, BonaventureStables.com, the website. There's a Facebook page as well. And I'm sure if somebody sees you around the track, they can inquire. You
know, I'm usually got a Bonaventure Stables shirt on. Please stop me. Either say just say hello or just ask, how might you buy into a horse? And I'm, whether it's with us or anybody else, I'm happy to tell you how to do it.
And as I say, I can attest to the fun, the partnership people have in Bonaventure. And as you say, there are all levels of partnership. Check out various partnerships and see where your comfort zone is. But Bonaventure, certainly a very good option. We also appreciate your sponsoring some of the events here at the network this summer. So that's a fun little partnership as well. And we appreciate, as I say, having the ability to root for some of the locals racing around the country, as we saw at Tampa earlier this year. And up here at Saratoga, certainly, Dan, appreciate the visit.
Well, thank you for having me, and we'll look forward to a great season.
Absolutely. Dan Collins from Bonaventure Stables. You saw there on the screen the website, and again, it's BonaventureStables.com for more information. All right, I'm going to wrap it up. We ran a little long today, but again, we had a little technical difficulty at the beginning. Hey, it's day one, but we eventually got everything up and running, and hopefully provide you with a little entertainment, a little information, and a good way to kick off the season. Tomorrow morning, things kick off for real. It's going to be Brian Addo and Anthony Mormito, handicapper support at 9, Racing Across America at 10. So opening day tomorrow, we're all looking forward to it. We'll see you then. Good luck.
You've been watching Racing Across America. Racing Across America has been brought to you by... Racing Across America is brought to you by... Pennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga. Just minutes from the track. The Leah Auto Group. Leah Cars for life. Find them on the web at leahcars.com. The new Capital OTB wagering platform. Bet any place, anytime with the new Capital OTB wagering platform. CapitalOTBBet.com, the premier wagering site in New York State. And the Clubhouse Racebook. Can't make it to the track? Make it to the Clubhouse Racebook. 711 Central Avenue, Albany.